This weekend, it's the World Long Drive Hope Sound, the second event of the 2023 World Long Drive season. They are right in the middle of it, and last year's champion is the current world number one. He's the two-time World Long Drive champion, and he spends part of his time at PGA National, so he's a local right here in Palm Beach County. Kyle Berkshire with us here on ESPN 106.3. And so, Kyle, I just want to start with this. First off, thank you for hanging out with us, and I'm just wondering, I've seen video of you just absolutely get into these drives. How is your back intact? How are your hips intact? What is that stretching regimen like? How do you keep yourself from just completely exploding anytime you swing that driver?
So it's conditioning. It's how someone in the major leagues can throw 100 miles an hour. It's how, you know, a cyclist can do the Tour de France and be able to go at it the next day. It's all about slowly building the body up to withstand the amount of swings we put on our body. And furthermore, it's about creating a swing that, while it may seem impossible, it's about creating a swing that is very easy on the body. And what I mean by that is the pressure points of the swing, where the pressure is extended out and unloaded, are all very carefully designed so that the body is in the most optimal place, so that the pressure doesn't hurt or harm the body. A great example of this is when you look at my swing at impact, My feet are totally off the ground. The reason this is critical is because if my feet were to stay planted with all that torque and turning, my knee would get destroyed. Yeah. But because when I have that jump at impact, my feet are entirely off the ground, all that energy I've created is being unloaded into the ball, and there's no energy or torque being put on my body. So, I mean, I feel great, and I've had one injury in my entire career, really, and it still didn't keep me from competing at the World Championship. But, I mean, it's just a fun sport, and we'll do whatever we have to do to keep ourselves in the game and competing. So it's all about conditioning. And really, to sum it up neatly, a lot of us will start our careers hitting maybe 30 to 40 balls a day at most.
Sure.
Like I did. And then eventually we'll work our way up to over hitting 300 to 500 balls a day. Man. Very slowly, you know, titrate up as the body gets more conditioned to handle the load of hitting. So that's kind of how you do it in a nutshell.
So Kyle Berkshire, the world number one, he's the defending champion at Hope Sound. And again, this weekend, World Long Drive Hope Sound, it's the Hope Sound Polo Club. 64 men, 16 women, 16 seniors, 24 amateurs. There's a juniors division as well. This is free for the fans. So go on out to the Hope Sound Polo Club this weekend, World Long Drive Hope Sound. You can stream all the action on the YouTube channel at World Long Drive. That's World Long Drive. And Kyle, again, you've been in long drive competition since 2017. And for anybody who hasn't seen Kyle Berkshire, and you mentioned that swing, that video, your swing at Impact Golf, that was a swing that had you clocking in at over 233 miles an hour on your ball speed. That's a record. And you just look like a badass. You've got the long hair. You've got the beard. I got to ask you, Kyle, is this a persona that came on as you started to more and more establish yourself as this big hitter, the world's best? Or was this you before you got into long drive, and this is just a manifestation of what your personality was before you started hitting these long balls?
Well, the funny thing about it is my game is golf. You know, I started playing golf when I was 2 years old, and I actually, one of the primary reasons my family bought this condo at PGA National was to use it when I turned pro. I was actually going to turn pro out of high school. My highest ranking as a junior golfer was 48th in my graduating class as a senior, and so I was recruited pretty heavily by a lot of schools, ended up signing with the University of North Texas. And it was a very difficult decision for me because I really, really wanted to turn pro out of high school. I actually spent a few weeks during my spring break on my senior year when most guys are out, you know, on the beach and stuff. I actually took that 2.5-3 weeks as a test run, played in like 6 or 7 events and in like mini tour events just to kind of test the waters. And I did all right. I mean, I wasn't destroying anybody, but I wasn't getting destroyed either. Like, I was kind of hanging in there, and I felt like I was really close and my game wasn't too far off. So I kind of told my parents that we'll go ahead and go through the recruiting process, but there's a very select few schools I'm willing to play for. Mm-hmm. And if I get an offer from one of them, I'll go and play college. If not, I'm going straight to professional golf. And they were okay with that because I was, you know, playing really well at the time. And I really felt like give me 2 or 3 years of really hard work. And because I lived in Maryland, so it was cold all the time. I felt give me 2 or 3 years of year-round hard work in Florida, and I figured I would be right there.
Sure.
So as the recruiting process went through, one of the schools I had in my mind was North Texas because they just invested a tremendous amount of money in a training facility, short game facility, all that good stuff. So ended up going there. And when I was there, my freshman year, played okay, just struggled a little bit with inconsistency and finding my game. But then I started training in the gym. I started, honestly, just gained a tremendous amount of speed. And to this day, I still don't know how I gained as much as I did. But I was a long hitter as a junior golfer. I was probably, you know, low 120s club speed when I went into college. Long, but nothing exceptional. And then, my God, but within a year, I was at low 130s. And then it started getting pretty goofy about halfway through my sophomore year. I was getting into the 140 to 142 club speed range on the course. And it just so happened that one of the guys who built the sport, Art Salinger, lived 20 minutes away from University of North Texas. So I saw him just to see if I had anything going.
Sure.
And he said, you probably would qualify for Worlds if you take what you have here and put it on a qualifying tournament. And so I went to a qualifier in California, won that, got my ticket to Worlds, and I still had every intention of, to be honest, continuing to play collegiate golf, but I figured it'd be nice to have this in the mix to maybe give me a nice little reset to continue to refocus myself for golf. So I went to Worlds with that being the plan, thinking I might make it through the first day. You know, maybe if crazy things happen, I might even finish top 32, you know, out of the 124 some people. Ended up making it to the semifinals and had a legitimate shot at winning the entire damn tournament. And that's when it got really crazy for me. And that's when I realized I started seeing the sport as a career.
Yeah.
So, and then from there, I decided to give it a couple of years in long drive. If I won the world championship, I would keep going. If not, I would reevaluate. And then I won Worlds in 2019. And once I had that platform, it gave me license to really, really focus on what I was doing. And that has allowed me to improve my game, improve my conditioning, my health, and worked out great because, to be honest, I love long drive more than I've ever loved golf. I like golf a lot, but this is definitely what I have a passion for. And it really worked out awesome in the end. You know, it's been a lot of fun.
That rules. And Kyle Berkshire, now the world number one. He's the face and the hair of World Long Drive, and he is a two-time World Long Drive champion. Stone, what do you got for Kyle?
Kyle, at what point did you realize that there was an art to the sport of the long drive, and this wasn't just, hey, I'm going to grip it and rip it? When did it click for you when you were on tour?
Oh, a lot later than it should have. but I can tell you the exact time it clicked. 2018, at a televised event in Arizona. It was called the Auction Smash in the Sun. At this time, it was my second year in the sport. It was the first event of the season, and I was just coming off of, you know, in 2017, finishing third at Worlds. And I just felt like the best thing since sliced bread. I was pretty cocky. I was pretty, I don't want to say arrogant, but I was pretty confident with myself. And I just was like, I'm going to swing so hard out there, and I'm going to hit the ball so far, no one's going to touch me. And so went to plan, got to the final eight, which is the televised portion, and then got my butt whooped by someone who was about 8 to 10 miles an hour club speed slower than me because he was hitting a really tight draw that was spinning at a perfect spin rate, and the ball was really what we call flat. So it basically, think of it like a ball apexing at like 180 feet, which is about where you want to do, and then imagine the ball flattening so it stretches as it's falling to the ground. And so it lands very shallow, and it carries far, and it rolls forever. See, I was hitting these cuts, more like slices, that were moving like left to right like 30 yards and spinning a ton. And I got beat by about 30 yards, even though I was consistently 8 to 10 miles an hour faster. And that's when I started talking to this guy named Bobby Peterson. He's been my coach for the last 5 years now. He couldn't sign me that year because he already had his stable signed for that that season. But throughout the year, he gave me small hints here and there, and I finally started figuring out what I was doing on the TV rounds. And then once I signed with him in December of 2018, we got to work. And that's when my career took off. I'll put it this way. In the 3 years I competed before I started working with him, I had one win on tour. And in the 4 years since, I've had 18. Nice. So, and two world championships. So it's been pretty incredible. And, you know, I became world number one, I believe, within 6 months of working with him. And that was, I believe it was July 12th, something like that, 2019. And that has been, my name has been next to the number one ever since. So, you know, and that's the key is you got to keep getting better. You're going to get passed. And, you know, that's what I've been doing. I recently set my new personal record ball speed at 239.7 miles an hour a couple days ago.
Yeah.
And so you just got to keep pushing that bar if you want to stay number one.
I mean, 239, that's like an F5 tornado. That is faster than Max Verstappen is putting down any lap in Formula One. Let me, based off of that, and again, Kyle Berkshire, world number one, world long drive with us. He'll be at Hope Sound, second event of the world long drive season here in 2023. I remember growing up playing Little League, and you square one up on those metal bats, and you know it. You know, it just feels right. It feels good for you. You're bombing these things on a regular basis. Can you tell, though, when you really, really, really get into one, or is everything, you're just bombing everything and they all feel the same?
Oh, you can definitely tell. I mean, there's a certain, it feels like nothing. That's the best way I can describe it. And, you know, it's extremely exhilarating when you catch that ball, especially, I would say, the first one you really hit hard in a tournament early on, because you always have those nerves going into a tournament, and you know you always get a little performance anxiety, and you're ready to get going. And then maybe you hit the first couple balls out of bounds, and you get a little nervous, you get a little jitters going through, and then you just catch that ball right, and then there's nothing like it, and that really gets the tournament going for me. And then, I mean, what I live for is being down to one ball and hitting a home run. Like that's. You know, a dream scenario of mine, you know, is if I'm competing against another top guy and, you know, we go back and forth, you know, say he hits one 405, I hit one 408, and then he screams a one and it goes 412, and then I scream one and it goes 414, you know, going back and forth. That's what the sport's all about, is how far can how far can you take it versus how far can the other person take it? It's a boxing match. It's a drag race. It's how much do you got and how much does the other guy got? Let's find out. That's pretty much what the sport is all about, you know, and that's what makes it so exciting, is you just never know. It's all about hitting that ball at the right time, and speed's important for sure, but at the end of the day, you got to be able to hit that ball, and you got to be able to hit it right. That's what I honestly spend all my time now, trying to hit the golf ball a certain way, not necessarily trying to increase my speed, even though that is certainly important, and there's an art to it. And I've had to learn it, you know, throughout a lot of trial and error and work with my coach. There's a certain way you need to hit this golf ball. And whoever hits it the best, that speed is going to be the best in the world. It's that simple.
I mean, that ball speed, just under 240 miles an hour. I can't even compute that. And if you've never been, and Stone, you know, if you've ever been to a world long drive competition, I mean, it's an adrenaline fest, man. I mean, people are going crazy. It's loud. It's raucous. If I were to ask you, hey, Kyle, you want to go ahead and take this invite to play in this PGA Tour event? Like, you'd say yes, I'm sure, because hey, it's a great opportunity. Go play a PGA Tour event. But could your senses handle the quiet nature, the solemn approach to playing actual rounds of golf compared to now what you're used to in the atmosphere you thrive in with that driver in your hand?
It'd be an interesting proposition for sure. I mean, I've definitely toyed with the idea of taking an exemption. I have been offered a couple. I actually have turned them down, believe it or not.
Huh.
Because for me, one of the things that's super important to me is I want to be the best when I compete. And it's very difficult. Here's the difficult thing. When you start to focus on something else. Guys like John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, and Cameron Young, I've known who these guys were for years before anybody else did. And here's the thing. There's another crop of those guys who are just as good coming in a couple years behind them and then a couple years behind them. And what happens is these guys get to the tour, and that's all they do is work on their game, and they get better and better and better. And when you have some other stuff going on, you're getting more and more behind.
Sure.
And, you know, I came in with three different – two other freshmen, and they both made it. One of them actually was really – he's a really great story, Ian Snyman from South Africa. He got one of the five spots in the first lib event. He qualified for it. He shot like a 64 the final day to get one of the spots and made like $600,000 across three events. And Thomas Rosemuller, one of my other roommate, he's like 13th on the Korn Ferry money list, and he's probably going to get his card this year if he keeps it up. But I see how hard those guys had to work over the last 3 to 5 years, and they were great in college. And to me, I don't necessarily want to take a sponsor exemption unless I feel like I can warrant that spot. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take up a spot mm-hmm. that someone else needs. But I won't rule it out for sure. Like, I've had a couple of good stretches of playing since college. I played a few tournaments here and there. It's not far off. The difficulty is, as you said, making that switch in terms of intensity. It's in long drive, it's very long periods of low intensity interrupted by extremely intense periods of short intensity.
Yeah.
So, but in golf, it's flipped. It's very, very long moments of it's not necessarily flipped, but what it is very, very long moments of medium intensity that wears you down in a different way. So it's that's the difficult thing about it is the mindset switch you have to make. It's very, very subtle, but very, very important. And I've had both sides of it. You know, I've been a golfer and a long driver, and they're both equally tough. So I won't rule that out by any means that I'll play in a PGA Tour event at some point for sure. Especially if I can get a couple weeks to work on my game and really hone in on that. But to be frank, I'd much rather compete in a long drive event. I just love it so much more. And to be honest, like the guys in PGA Tour, that's what they do. And a lot of the guys that are out there now, I've competed against for years and years and years in junior golf, and they were pretty darn good back then too. So, you know, those guys are tough to beat, but, I wouldn't rule it out by any means, but, definitely not something I will ever consider trying to do full time just because those guys are so far ahead at this point that it's going to be extremely difficult to catch up. But I'm very happy with what I'm doing. I love what I do. And I feel like that's extremely important as well. And I feel like the love I have for what I do is what enables me to become better and better and better. And I really like the idea that I'm doing something that I'm gifted in.
Sure.
Because I feel like it's something that people enjoy watching and it brings value to people. And I really like doing that.
Kyle, I got to ask what your relationship is like with Martin Borgmeier, who's currently ranked number 2 in the world of long drive. Because a month ago, a video goes viral of you topping out, I believe, at 236 miles per hour ball speed. And then Martin waited 2 or 3 days just to go 239 and then go viral as well. And it was like almost quote tweeting your video. And he wins last month in Nevada. Like, are you guys really tight or is it super competitive between you guys? Because I feel like you two are obviously the faces of world long drive. And you guys come up every other month with something, some new record being broken. What's your guys' relationship like?
I would say it's kind of like any, you know, relationship between top guys. It's never super, it's always complicated, but it's not a bad relationship. It's kind of like, you know, like you got how Kobe and Shaq were, they were buddies, but there was always tension. It's kind of like how Tiger and Phil, you know, to be honest, what's probably going to happen towards the end of our careers, we're probably going to become extremely close because we're just, you know, we know our time is limited. We're just having fun with it. But, like, I think it's just like any rivals are. Like, you know, we're very cordial and we're friendly. In fact, Martin made a video about the ball speed record going kind of haywire these last couple of weeks, and he had a lot of nice words to say about me, which I really appreciated, and I have a lot of good things to say about Martin. We do things very differently on the grid. He's a lot more loud than I am, and a lot more. But you have to do what makes you hit better. And what makes me hit better is being quiet and focused. And what makes him hit better is being loud and engaged with the audience. And so it's mostly a good relationship. Obviously, we always have our tensions on the grid. We want to beat each other. But I respect him. He respects me. You know, I respect his game, and I know he respects my game. And I think that makes us all better, you know, because there's no way I'd be going 239 if Martin didn't go 239. Me going 239 was a direct response to Martin going 239.3. Right. Me going 239.7. I mean, direct response, literally within 48 hours. And that's what's made it so cool, you know, is that we've been able to push each other higher and higher and higher. And, you know, it's nice to have someone like him come along who understands what this sport is about and understands what needs to be done to grow the game. So it's cool to have someone who's a challenger. That's what it's all about. And that's why people, what makes people want to watch. And that's important. So, I mean, we're not having dinner every night when we're at a tournament, but we're also very, very friendly to each other. And our relationship is, I feel like, a lot better than people might think. We don't spend a lot of time together off the grid, but we have a common respect for each other as for our games and for how we're going about our business. So it's a lot better than I think most rivals' relationships and different than other sports, if I had to guess.
Let me just ask you this, just to, sort of along those lines. So someone like Bryson DeChambeau rolls in and, you know, he talks a little bit and he's bulking up on protein shakes and he's saying, hey, I can do this. You're the world number one and you and your guys are plying this path and you're building this sport and he's going to come in for a little bit of a cameo. How do you feel about Bryson coming on like he did about a year ago? Do you accept that? Do you think it's good for the sport? Or do you say, hey, dude, we really want to come in and kick your backside? Like, how does that work?
Oh, it was awesome. It was unbelievable for the sport. Having someone like Bryson come in and, I don't want to say legitimize the sport, because I think it was a very legitimate sport beforehand anyway, but to have the PGA Tour, and it almost forced the PGA Tour's hand a little bit. It forced them to acknowledge this sport, which I feel like sometimes they kind of try to avoid doing. Mm-hmm. It forced the golfing world to acknowledge the sport if they hadn't already. That's what Bryson really did, and he did extremely well. And I told everybody who would listen, this guy's going to be dangerous, because if people don't understand, it doesn't necessarily matter how fast you are. It matters how long you are. And I was like, this kid is long, and he's long because he hits it very, very straight. He hits the center of the face over and over. He has a very repeatable swing, and he can make the ball do whatever he wants. And when you hit it straight, think about this. If you hit it straight and there's no curve on the ball is spending all of its time going directly away from you down the grid instead of side to side.
That's physics, yeah.
And he has enough. He doesn't have like crazy speed, but he has enough speed. He's, you know, like 214 to 216 ball speed. That is enough speed to be an elite hitter if everything else is in place. And obviously for Bryson, everything else is in place: his ball flight, his control of his swing, his ball striking. And when the ground firms up and he's hitting into a slight headwind, that guy's dangerous. And that's what happened at Worlds last year. And, you know, the right couple guys in OB, and he rose to the occasion, myself admittedly as well. You know, he became dangerous, and he almost won. And what we saw happen was, you know, he just ran out of speed. You know, Martin hit his ball, and Bryson hit his ball, and Bryson lost by about 16, 17 yards. But when you hit your ball over and over every set, and other guys that are fast, and you might not necessarily hit their ball every set, you're going to catch a lot of these faster guys. And that's what Bryson did. And, you know, real credit to him. It was pretty amazing to see him come out and do as well as he did. And a lot of people really thought he was going to get destroyed. And I was like, he's not. I was like, this guy is going to be dangerous, and you're going to quickly realize that. And I think after the first day of 2021, everybody realized he was for real. But I've been training this guy since 2019 after I won Worlds. So I knew exactly where his numbers were. And I knew he was probably only about 15 to 20 yards behind me when we did our sessions and we got to pick the balls up. And I knew if you're only 15 or 20 yards behind me, you're going to be dangerous in the sport. So it was really cool to see. And, you know, he can win a world championship if the cards line up right, 100%. And it's been awesome to see what he's done for the sport, and the attention he's brought to it has been definitely – the lifeblood for the sport, especially in 2021, because sport wasn't doing too well in 2021 with the pandemic.
Right.
So to have him compete was huge. And I think it certainly played either at least an indirect role, if not a direct role, in us being in the situation we're in right now with TV, with the biggest purse in the history of the sport, and all these other things coming our way. So, I mean, we owe a lot to him. And, I'm, you know, we're always – he's always got a spot whenever, you know, if he wants to compete. So, you know, it's been really cool to see.
That's awesome to hear. And that's why Kyle Berkshire, what an ambassador for World Long Drive, world number one, rightfully so, and saying, hey – all comers, let's go. Let's make sure that we build this thing the way and as big as it needs to be. And again, World Championship, the World Long Drive Championship is going to have a two-hour broadcast on the Golf Channel. So this thing is exploding. Kyle Berkshire, world number one, owns the fastest ball speed record. He has put it just under 240 miles an hour. He's the defending champ at Hope Sound. And Hope Sound this weekend, World Long Drive Hope Sound, it is underway. It is free to fans. Get out to the Hope Sound Polo Club, and you can watch the competition on YouTube at World Long Drive. Kyle, thank you so much for the time. Congratulations on all your success, and here's to you repeating as the champ at Hope Sound.
That sounds like a plan to me. You know, I'm not going there to finish second, I'll tell you that much. So I appreciate you having me on, and hope everybody out there finds their way out there to see some of the longest drives and fastest ball speeds they will ever see in their life. So definitely come out if you have nothing else to do this weekend.
Kyle Berkshire, again, looking to defend his Hope Sound Championship World Long Drive, joining us here on ESPN 106.3.